This clip was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For more information about the UK Wine Show, you can go to ukwineshow.co.uk.
Hi, my name's Chris Scott and I'm here with Robert Joseph. How are you, Robert?
I'm very good, thank you. And it's very good to be speaking to you again. It's a long time since we've actually seen each other face to face.
It has been a long time. I was looking at my notes. It was something like 10 years ago I interviewed you.
I think so. Yeah.
It was on the it was at the International Wine Challenge. We were talking about that. But this week, I want to talk about celebrity wines because you're at Wine to Wine at the moment. You're doing a presentation on celebrity wines. And about 2 weeks ago when these new wines came out, I was saying that every man and his dog is creating a celebrity wine. But it's not necessarily that. There seems to be almost two styles of celebrity wines to me. There's the celebrities who have made a bit of money and they've thought, you know what? I want to own a winery. And you look at the likes of, say, Cliff Richard or Sting or a number of other celebrities, and they've purchased a winery and they haven't plastered their name all over it. They've just bought a winery and they're getting on with their wines. And then in the last probably 2 years or so, you're starting to see these wines come through. And I think the first one I was aware of was Graham Norton, who created his wine range, but it's all about being Graham Norton and he has no connection to the winery. And since then, I've become aware of a number of different businesses that are basically in the business of making celebrity wines. That, and all the celebrity needs to do is go down, have a nice weekend, drinking some wine, decide what they like, and next thing you know, they've got a label coming through. And it doesn't necessarily have the same connectivity that if you own a vineyard, like Sam Neill, Two Paddocks, or even Jay-Z, who Ace of Spades. There's loads of celebrities out there who've got a connection to a winery, and then there's these other ones who are just selling wines. That seems to be my take. What's your take on the situation, Robert?
I've just addressed that in my presentation here this morning, and to be honest, it's what I hear a lot of people saying. And it really, it's more nuanced than that. So we've got celebrities who, as you say, have some money and think I'll buy a vineyard. Now, some of those, like Sam Neill, get very hands-on. Others, like George Clooney, maybe less hands-on. They may be paying other people. Certainly Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie signed up with the Perrin family from Château Beaucastel to run Mirabel. And Francis Ford Coppola admitted he didn't know that much about wine when he started his business. He employed some very good people. So some people get their hands on, some people employ others, some people just buy a share in a wine business and they just want to be have something, some involvement. Gerard Depardieu got really involved. I mean, we don't really think about him these days, but he was, a top actor who was very keen on wine. Carole Bouquet, the French actress, as a winery in Sicily. The parallel I drew earlier today is with books, because every year there's a whole pile of celebrity autobiographies that come out. There's also a whole pile of celebrity cookbooks and diet books, and there's also a whole pile of books by chefs full of recipes. And 60% of celebrity autobiographies are ghostwritten. Now, does that matter? I don't know. It's a pity when the ghostwriter doesn't get credited, but if you're a ghostwriter, you're very used to that. But would I rather read an entertaining book that gives me the flavor of the life of the person I'm interested in, be they a sportsman or a woman or a celebrity in the arts or whatever, or would I rather read a dull autobiography that those people have actually written themselves? You know, does it really matter? We're so purist about this, as if, oh, the fact that X doesn't own the vineyard and he doesn't get up at dawn to go and prune his own vines. As far as I'm concerned, only one thing matters, and I'd be really brutal about this. It's in the book or in the wine. Does it taste good? And if it tastes good, I really don't care if Snoop Dogg actually got involved and made the wine himself or didn't. But Kylie Minogue, for example, sold a million bottles of Prosecco this year. The Western Australian wine she's got is made by Howard Park. It's a Chardonnay from down in Margaret River. Well, yeah, what's wrong with that? And by the same token, Graham Norton, actually, whom you picked up on, actually has a very strong interest. He's one of the people who's got more involved in the blending, in the whole business of his label, than many others. Sarah Jessica Parker, I don't know how involved she's got in wine, but the interesting thing is anyone who knows about perfume will know that she got more involved in the blending or the creation of the perfume that bears her, or perfumes that bear her name, than many others. I don't know how much effort David Beckham put into the perfume that bears his name, but does it matter? All that matters to me is the person who wants to wear David Beckham or Sarah Jessica Parker or drink whatever the wine is having a good time.
Yeah, I agree with you on that, actually. I started out thinking that these wines were about as authentic as a critter on a wine bottle.
Well, I'm sorry, can I just say that I'm selling 3.8 million bottles a year of a wine with a sheep on it, and we sell it in some very nice restaurants, and we get some pretty good ratings on Vivino and elsewhere, and it's totally authentic. It's got a sheep on the label. It's called Le Grand Noir, and it wasn't a critter label when we started. We didn't actually sit down and say, oh, look, there's all these people putting animals on labels. We were probably before most of that happened. We wanted to do something different. We were seen as being the outlier, and it just made sense to us to put the black sheep on. But I have to say that having an animal on a label, which the wine trade, oh my God, it's a critter label, just means people can recognize the wine instead of just a whole load of meaningless and unpronounceable verbiage.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. Well, yeah.
I'm just stirring things up a little bit, Chris. You know me a bit, so you know that I'm just throwing some pepper into the soup here.
I wanted to just touch on a little bit on some of the businesses that are actually being involved in this, because it's quite interesting. There seems to be quite a number of businesses that are dedicated to creating these celebrity wines. Gary Barlow and Kylie Minogue, they were part of Benchmark Drinks,
along with both of them, and along they're also doing a I think they're going to do a Gordon Ramsay wine as well. Ian Botham, and what I love about this, by the way, is the fact that the people who are going to buy Ian Botham wines may not be the same people who buy the Kylie wines or the Gary Barlow wines.
No, and that's one of the nice things about it, is that even though sometimes you think, well, these are just brand building companies, they are expanding the product range, and they're creating quite a different offer, because one of the things that a lot of people say about the wine, oh, it's a little bit staid, there hasn't been really a lot of innovation. If you compare it to, say, the beer industry, the beer industry has gone massively innovative in all sorts of directions, whereas the wine industry has been a little bit staid. And the idea of these celebrity wines is that they all of a sudden, it just gives access to a product that some people may not have necessarily drunk in the past. The one that I thought was quite funny is a UK brand called Wines and Brands. I don't know if you've heard of mm-hmm. them. They did the signature chef series of wines. Did a bit of research to try and find out a bit about them. They seemed like a winery in the south of France, and all the wines are basically putting someone else's label on it and flogging their wines through it. But the pricing is quite interesting, because the channel almost controls the pricing. If you look at something like, who was it? Gary Barlow from Benchmark Drinks, his wines are currently on sale at Morrison's between £6 and £8. Whereas James Martin's wines are more £20. They're Vin de France. They've got no sort of authentic regional basis. They're Vin de France they're selling for around £20 a bottle, which is, I mean, that is way out there. That's astronomical high street prices, but for a restaurant, they're not necessarily a crazy price. So some of these wines, I think, are being channeled into particular market spaces with particular prices. I don't know. What's your...
Well, I think, again, the whole thing about pricing, and, you know, I'm the proverbial gamekeeper turned poacher. So for many, many years, I was a wine critic whose only focus in life was finding wines that were good and good value for my readers. And so I've run 50, 60 wine competitions, blind tasting, and Wine 7, when we don't know who made it, what it costs, comes out as doing better than Wine 8. And we, whoopee-doo, we give Wine 7 a gold medal. And then what happens is, out in the real world, people still buy Wine 8, which didn't get the gold medal, rather than Wine 7. Why? You know, it's not as good value, the wine isn't as good, etc. Well, they like the label. They like the name. There's something about that extrinsically mm-hmm. that actually works for them. The fact that some group of people who call themselves wine experts think that one is better than the other doesn't actually necessarily change the way they think. Now, when it comes to celebrities, I think price is not the point. Whether Kylie's Prosecco is good value or bad value or whatever, it's probably not going to be as good value as a supermarket wine sitting on the shelf, because Kylie is getting money per bottle out of it and she shouldn't come cheap. But when I buy Kylie's wine, or I buy Botham's wine, or Gary Barlow, or Ramsey, or whoever it is, I'm part of what I'm buying is the link to the celebrity, and I'm not. That's part of its value. It's when I buy the suit that James Bond wears or whatever, and I'm not stopping and thinking, well, I'm sure that Marks and Spencer's has got a cheaper version of this suit that looks nearly as good. What I want, and that's what branding is about, and the thing I've just said in my presentation, is that if you're making wine, or anything else, but wine in particular, and you ask questions like, or people ask you questions like, what's your score? What scores have you got? What medals have you got? Or second question would be, how much does it cost? And the third question is it value for money? I'm sorry, you are getting something wrong. Because when you walk into the Ferrari sales showroom and you go, how much is that Ferrari? They will show you the door. Because people who want to buy a Ferrari don't normally ask that question. They want a Ferrari. They kind of know what it's going to be. And that's exactly the same for an Armani suit. And it's exactly the same, actually, for a bottle of Dom Perignon or a bottle of Lataché. You don't go, oh, my God, how much is the Dom Perignon? No, you've decided to buy it. To me, products like wine, they're luxuries. Let's not get over it. Unless you're an alcoholic, wine is a luxury. You don't need it. If you can't afford to feed your children, you're not buying wine. So start from there. It's a discretionary purchase that you choose to do. It's an emotional purchase. You buy it for reasons that are not rational. You don't buy it because it's got this score or that score. You buy it for various things that happen internally within you that are irrational, and they may involve history. And you know, we talk about this stuff, about stories. We also, wines need stories. Well, come on, a story. If a story makes you buy a wine, that is irrational. If you're buying the wine because you've seen lovely pictures of the family in the vineyards or because you've heard the story of it, that's nothing to do with how good the wine is. It's something that's moved you emotionally. It's not rational. And that's exactly the same as the fact that it's got Kylie's name on it, or it's got, you know, it doesn't matter. You know, Roger Federer or whoever it is, I like Roger Federer or I like Emma Raducanu, you know, I'm going to buy the thing that they're associated with. And we wine people get so precious. But I'm going to say something else because I'm now on a little bit of a rant. The wine industry is extraordinarily unimaginative. So we had these things that we put in the top of a bottle called a cork, which was spoiling lots of wine. So what did we do? We went and looked at what Coca-Cola does. And we used a screw cap like Coca-Cola. Did we invent anything new? No. Did we change the shape or size of the bottle? No. All we did was we changed the bit at the top and put a screw cap on it. And we thought we'd actually invented something. We hadn't. And now, whoopee-doo, we've got cans. What have we done? We've taken a long, long time to realize that actually beer sells in cans. Coca-Cola sells in cans. We could put wine in cans. There is no innovation. And a can is not the right container for a 12.5-13% drink, because essentially most other drinks in cans you can drink directly from the can, and wine, unless you're talking about a Moscato 4-5%, is not ideal from the can. We haven't. The only bit of innovation, the innovation we've done, the bag in box, which wasn't invented by the wine industry, but a brilliant Australian called John Angove realized that something that was designed for battery acid could be adapted for wine. And he then even more cleverly called it a cask in Australia. But the rest of the world, come on, how stupid can we be as an industry that we put wine that we pick from grapes and we put it in something, we call it a bag in box. You know, it's a premium product that we call a bag in box. How stupid an industry can we really be?
Let's get back to the celebrity wines.
So, yeah, I actually want to ask a couple of, just a question, actually. So about this wine producers investing on celebrities to partner with them, do you think it's the easier way for the brand recall, for consumers to remember them easily? is it like an easier way or expensive but easy way? How do you, I mean,
I don't personally, I don't know, Robert, about you, but whether people are buying Ian Botham's wine or James's wines, they're not necessarily buying it because it's easy to remember. I agree with Robert. I think they're buying it because they're trying to buy into the lifestyle or buy into the concept, and that's what they're purchasing. I don't think the accessibility of these wines, they're generally not available in the high street that much. So they're really
hold on, sorry, that's not true. Basically, Kylie is very widely sold. Botham has been in Waitrose for 3 or 4 years. No, these wines are there. I think picking up on your question, which I think is a very good question, and that's where I was coming to from when I was talking about the cans and the screw caps and stuff. Exactly. Getting a celebrity is a lazy shortcut, but it works. It works for other products, so tick the box. We can do it. So I haven't got my 100-point score, which would be one way to do it. I can't afford to do this kind of advertising. I'll get a celebrity. So in that sense, it's lazy and potentially it's dangerous because you are at risk if that celebrity's popularity goes down or if that celebrity is caught doing something wrong. You know, you've actually hooked your brand, which should be something you care deeply about, onto a stranger's behavior. So there is that danger. But on the other hand, it works. So, you know, for want of anything else, and so back to, I'll talk very frankly on this, in terms of my brand, would we go and get some link with a celebrity or whatever? And if I could afford it, yes. Certainly, it's an idea that I certainly would embrace, but it would have to be the right person, the right way. And I would want them, back to my earlier point, I would want them at least to pretend to take some interest in the product, but I might not necessarily expect them to be thinking about it day and night.
Most of the wines, though, aren't necessarily, they're branded by the celebrity. They're either completely separate to the celebrity, like Miraval or Ace of Spades, but they're not necessarily co-branded. You don't see LVMH branding all over Ace of Spades necessarily, because even though they've now got a 50% shareholding in that champagne bottle. So I don't know if it's such a risk for the original brand or the wine creator to have a celebrity on them. But I will say it is a high risk for the celebrity, because I don't know if you remember Cliff Richards he absolutely slated his own wine and said it was dross and terrible. When someone had set him up to do that, you know. So it's actually a risk for the celebrity, particularly if they don't know much about wine, to do the wine themselves.
Yeah, but the other side of the coin is that Cliff Richard, it's his own vineyard. I'm not sure it's still going, but it certainly was his own vineyard, his own business, and he took the risk of getting set up with a blind tasting or whatever, which I have to say, as a brand owner myself, I would be very careful about how that might be done to me. And you know, who's to say that I might not fall into the same situation? However, if Cliff Richard had been in the situation that Kylie or Snoop are in terms of just putting your name to a product, there was this very unpleasant case that Cliff Richard was wrongly accused of various things, and his face was all over the newspapers. And if I'd owned that brand, I might have been worried about it at the time. So it's a two-way street. You've got the celebrity who may or may not be caught doing something untoward, and by the same token, you know, basically the brand might affect the celebrity. I think there are other points to make, which is that communications. I don't know, huge numbers of people who drink Miraval are not aware of the link with Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie. The wine industry is very aware, and it has helped them get the listings and the visibility they've got. But I think if you asked 100 drinkers of Miraval, you'd be surprised how many do not know about the connection. And that may also be true of indeed, even in Sam Neill's case, which is a far higher obvious link and there's fewer bottles. In terms of Ace of Spades, the people who know that there's the link are the people who matter. And by the same token, in the presentation I've just done, I included the Lady Gaga clip for the Lady Gaga version of Dom Perignon. Now, again, you know, LVMH has very clearly taken Dom Perignon, which is their flagship with Crew, one of their absolute flagship products, and they've associated it with Lady Gaga. And it's a brilliant concept. She's got a huge following. She's got a very specific following, and it works. You know, there's potentially a risk if Lady Gaga misbehaved in some way. I'm sure it'd be all over the tabloids.
Yep.
But, you know, as far as they're concerned, it's just like having a product in a James Bond movie.
Of the brands that are out there, Robert, which are the ones that you think have the highest integrity for the wine lover who doesn't, you know, like whether you like Jay-Z or Lady Gaga, etc.? Do you think any of them have a particular high level of wine
integrity?
Well,
you know, start with Sam Neill and Francis Ford Coppola, who's just sold his business, admittedly. But, you know, they're absolutely, and Sofia Coppola. No, there are lots of them. But, you know, to be honest, I don't really care that much. I really don't. As far as I know, if it tastes good, I don't care if the celebrity actually has been deeply involved or has not been involved at all. It's a bit like the celebrity chef restaurant. Oh, my God. You know, there's a restaurant, there's a famous chef who's got 25 restaurants. And you think, well, you know, he's not cooking in all 25 restaurants. So, well, you know, why should I do this?
Yeah.
But actually, if I'm having Carluccio, well, he died now, but when he was alive, all those Carluccio restaurants are not, you know, not in the situation we were when he had one restaurant. But if I have a good experience in a Carluccio restaurant, then I'm happy. And I think that, you know, as a grown-up, I don't think that the whole thing of integrity in wine, integrity to me is if they're doing something untoward in the vineyard or in the winery, or if they're making a claim, if they say, actually, Graham Norton comes and picks the grapes every day or whatever. Yeah, I don't believe that. But I don't really need Graham Norton necessarily to be deeply involved in the product if I like drinking it.
Yeah, cheers, Robert. Thanks very much.
Good to see you, Chris. We hope we'll catch up in person soon.